Let's Talk America with Dr. Alan Keyes.
The IMTV. I'm Alan Keyes, and this is Let's Talk America. We're coming to you on the Brighteon TV platform. Always like to give a shout-out as the program starts to the fine folks there, including Mike Adams, who helped to put the platform together and make sure there would be a safe place where one didn't have to fear being canceled and otherwise harassed for telling the truth, especially about issues that are of deep moral concern to people of Christian faith and to Americans who still believe in the fundamental premises of the United States of America. Now, today I have as my guest somebody who I admire and who I think has been doing amazing work in a place where that work is especially hard. My guest is Susan Swift, and she is with the Right to Life League. And they have particularly, since I think they're founding in 1967, they have focused on the issue of life, the issue of abortion. They have done so in the context of the state of California. Now, of course, when they were founded in 1967, I don't know whether one would have thought of the state of California as a, you know, a state that was living next door to hell. I'm afraid, Susan, that we do think of it that way. Now, I at least do. And I say next door in order to be polite, not because I really think there's much difference now between Newsom's California and a place in the very pit of the most fiery part of hell. And I think that I find myself marveling at the fact that people who are dedicated to life, and especially those I have met throughout the United States, it doesn't matter, really, what environment they're operating in. You have some states that are absolutely decrepit with issues that offend God, like the killing of innocent children in the womb. And yet folks are still working their hearts out, because I think they don't do it in order to, I don't know, tabulate some a roster of success that they can get up and look at and say, I'm doing something. No, they do it for God and for truth. And in the service of that, they are just indefatigable. And you are one of those people. You're an attorney. You're somebody who has a background in film and television. And yet you have chosen, really, to devote your talents and marvelous abilities to the cause of trying to end this scourge of death that we inflict upon our most innocent human beings. Our babes in the womb. My first question, therefore, is from whence in your life and in yourself comes that depth of conviction, so that in the midst of darkness, I know we're all called to be light, but not everybody acts like it. You act like it. You and the folks who have sustained the Right to Life League are people who just don't give up. And as a result, you keep on saving human lives.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm touched. I thank you. But I just want to tell you, and I want to remind everyone who's watching, Americans don't give up. Americans never quit. And look, our nation was founded by a marvelous ragtag bag of people who came over here and said, wait a minute, we aren't ruled by kings and queens in England. Our rights come from God, not government. And our God is the God, is the Christian God, Yahweh, whatever the name is that we choose to give him. But he is the Almighty One, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it is incumbent, I think, on every American to make sure that we are on God's side. I know that a lot of people will say, well, you know, God's on our side of whatever the issue is. And you've got to always remember, you've got to always reflect inwardly and say, well, wait a minute, I need to make sure I'm on God's side and that I'm acting according with his divine will. to the best of my ability. So that's something that motivates me. I know that that is what motivates all of the pro-life clinics and centers and maternity homes that are all over California. They are, they're under like all kinds of pressure that you just can't even imagine, because our AG here, Rob Bonta, the Attorney General for California, he's already saber rattling. He sent out a memo not too long ago, basically threatening these pro-life clinics and centers and homes, saying, you just better watch your language, because we are going to go after you for fraud in your advertisement, because you are not providing comprehensive reproductive care. And I always marvel, because Planned Parenthood doesn't offer comprehensive reproductive care. They just offer abortion. They don't offer prenatal care. They don't offer postnatal care. They don't offer birthing services or anything like that. They just offer one specific service to kill babies in the womb, because that's what abortion is.
Stop for a minute, and because I find it unacceptable and incomprehensible that we have let the folks who promote the murder of innocent children in the womb talk about that as part of reproduction.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's crazy. Reproduction means you produce again, and to produce again a human life, you have to, well, let it live. It seems pretty obvious. So if you're about killing that life, what has that got to do with reproduction?
It is the exact opposite. It is Marxist, commie, Orwellian speech. Hmm. We use the term reproduction to actually mean anti-reproduction.
Yes.
Because if we're killing the baby in the womb, that ends your reproductive power, at least insofar as that baby is, you're no longer reproducing. You have to start all over again. It is the exact opposite. It is so much what Marxist commie pro-aborts do. They use words like reproductive freedom. They've just enshrined that in our state constitution in California. That was Prop 1. They did it in Michigan as well. That was Proposition 3. There's a similar one that's not quite as direct in Vermont, which was Proposition 5. But these propositions use this Orwellian term, reproductive freedom. Doesn't it sound nice? You are free to reproduce. You are free from government intrusion into your reproductive freedom. And that calls to mind, you know, what China does. They just recently got rid of their one-child policy. Now I guess you can have two. So Xi Jinping needs more people, I guess, to you know, work as slave labor in Apple companies or wherever, or Nike or wherever they work. But you see, that type of reproductive freedom from government, that's kind of an Orwellian way of phrasing it. And they put that language into a proposition that amends our state constitution. Here's what it says. It's very similar to the Proposition 3 in Michigan as well. It says, the state shall not deny or interfere with an individual's reproductive freedom in their most intimate decisions, which includes abortion and use of contraception. So it kind of sounds very good, like the state's not going to interfere with how many babies you want to have. But actually, of course, it doesn't mean that. What we're going to see now that it's going into our Constitution, is probably going to be effective January 1st in California, not the federal Constitution, just the state. We're now licensing judges to interpret whatever reproductive freedom means. And here are some very real concerns. We already have on the books, and it's a morality-based system of laws that we all have in states, like laws against incest, laws against rape, laws against polygamy, just those basic things. Like, it's not okay for a mother to marry her son or her daughter to marry her Uncle Joe, right? We don't want to do that. Okay, well, that is state interference with one's individual reproductive freedom. You'll notice that they only use the word individual, and it's not limited by age. That's already been interpreted by courts. Individual is a person, and it's not confined by age. So what's going to stop a 12-year-old from enjoying a relationship with a 40-year-old? Pedophilia. Because now these Orwellian Marxist commies have redefined pedophilia to be a minor attracted person. I'm a minor attracted person. You haven't heard that one? It's true.
I have heard it. And I think you're exactly right. But And it has, by the way, in my opinion, been the objective all along. In other words,
yes,
all the blather about what they are doing for women, which never really made any sense, is something that means I'm going to cater to the death-minded women, and I am going to objectify and exclude the women who accept the natural law.
And
now, of course, part of what these people are doing is rejecting the natural law across the board. Yes. And I wonder if people think through, though, because it's one of the things that has always struck me about the abortion issue. Everybody thinks that it's either about the mother or the child. I don't think their promotion of abortion is simply about mother or child. I think it's about destroying America's commitment to God-endowed unalienable rights. I think they want to get rid of that concept altogether. And if they can destroy it with respect to the most innocent life there is, then they have pretty much eliminated it. And then whether or not you kill people becomes a matter of expedient decision.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. Because you see, these pro-aborts, they can't strike at God directly, right? They can't. In his heaven. So what is the earthly reflection of God's creative force, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of life? What is that? The earthly reflection of that is marriage, is a man and a woman coming together in matrimony and being blessed by the Holy Spirit with the creation of new life. That is the heart of, that's been the heart of society for as long as, since we crawled out of the seas, I guess, and out of our caves, right? That is the basis of all successful societies, is a family unit. And to distract from that and to destroy it, we are attacking it, first of all, with, you know, the notion that you're free from any kind of responsibility for your own actions. The whole idea that you ought to be able to enjoy sex at any time with anyone, any place, whatever you want, and there should be no responsibility and no consequences for that. And then they keep selling different pills and different ideas and different devices so that you can facilitate that. They look, half of this is aimed at men. Who benefits most from abortion on demand? Men. They don't have to be responsible for their issue. They don't have to step up and be a man and say, well, yeah, I've fathered a child now and I need to take care of that mother and I need to take care of my son or daughter. They don't have to do it. The easiest thing for a man to do is put his sweetheart, honey, in the car and drive her down to Planned Parenthood. And then he doesn't have to pay for anything anymore. So men are benefiting mightily, and women have been sold this bill of goods as though that they're going to somehow not have a career, or they're not going to have their education, they're not going to have their dreams because this baby is some sort of disease or plague or pariah. And what they have to do is get rid of it. And that is absolutely contrary to the basic natural law, as you mentioned. We are created male and female, and we are naturally blessed with fecundity, fertility, and it is a natural consequence. In fact, it's a blessing to have many children, and you can control that completely yourself. I am 100% pro-choice before conception. Absolutely. Right?
Have you thought, though, about the fact that we are now living with people who, on the abortion issue, on the issue of marriage, on the issue of fanciful sexual identities, I say that to be polite, that is to say, you can make yourself up as you go along, they are claiming to take self-government and turn it into self-creation, so that instead of being someone who participates in the business of government in a responsible way as a citizen of the United States, I become someone who, as an individual, is assumed to have some power to remake myself at will. So if I get up tomorrow feeling like I, Alan Keyes, am a woman, I can be a woman, and you must call me a woman, and you must let me into the women's restrooms and so forth and so on. What is the real implication, though?
Denial of
freeing
self.
Us in this way.
It's denial of self. It's denying who you were created by and who you were created to be. We are enabling an entire generation of puerile children to continue to pretend. It's fine if you're in preschool and you want to pretend to be a boy or a girl, a ballerina or a fireman, and that's all kind of pretend, and that's really healthy and wonderful because that the children are young and experiment in their minds and grow up that way. But at a certain age, somewhere between 5 and 7, right in there, and when that age of reason comes, you know, you start developing your personality, and yet what we are now empowering an entire generation to do is to pretend, to remain children, and also to focus almost exclusively on their genitalia.
Well,
that is the sum and substance of their life, is their sexual experience.
But I think that you hit on the key points of so many things that are going on right now. Because if you encourage people to act as if, like little children, they get to play out all their fantasies, and their fantasies are real, and everybody's going to kowtow to their fantasies, and so forth and so on. What implication does that have for their real ability to make decisions about how to maintain themselves and survive in the world? I think you're producing people who, at the end of the day, taking on the false persona you offered them, they become incapable of caring for themselves. And isn't a lot of the agenda they're pursuing now claiming it's good for women and good for children and good for the liberties of individuals and good for people who want to express themselves sexually and otherwise? They're really just encouraging people to do whatever they please, and they'll continue doing that even though they know that the consequences have to be awful. And you're in a state that proves it. I mean, Newsom has been one of the leaders of every aspect of this sickness that they're trying to encourage in the American people. And the California has gone from being what I think one could have reasonably called the jewel in America's crown of states at one point, to being, in the minds of a lot of people, the forsaken cesspit of America. In which people are now stumbling over folks in the street who don't have place to live. The drug addicts and all of these folks are being victimized by the neglect of the crimes and dangers that are involved and so forth and so on. But this is being encouraged. I think it's being encouraged precisely in order to destroy both character and conscience, because until you have destroyed character and conscience in America, you aren't going to be having the excuse or the power to impose totalitarian rule on all the people of this country. I think that's their objective. Every aspect of this murderous and insane devolution, really, of the American people is aimed at reducing us to a state of dependency that then becomes the excuse for total control by a little clique.
Yes, and that what we're seeing in California with respect to abortion is we are now funding, the California state taxpayer is funding somewhere around, you know, I think $100 million worth of new services. I think it was our state budget was huge for this. And what now we're doing is we are offering free abortions to any woman who gets here, regardless of age. Again, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Once you get here, you can demand your free abortion. We're going to be SB 1142 passed, and so that's going to enable the building of the website from which anyone from any state can just plan your travel, get here to California, probably get your abortion hotel. Probably there's abortion Uber or Lyft services to get you right there, and then you get your free abortion. You can even bring your children, the ones you want to keep, with you to California. The only thing that's not included is tickets to Disneyland. I'm sure they're working on that. But we are funding it now. It's not even simply a matter of this false notion of tolerance, as though, well, some people can spend their own money to kill their own babies. That's not what's happening. What's happening is that we are forced as California taxpayers, we're forced to fund someone else's abortion to the fullest extent. Even insurance companies are no longer even allowed to charge a copay. Nothing. That's all wiped out. So it's 100% free. And of course, they're trying to find women to bring in here. Recently, I just saw a report, Susan B. Anthony had reported that the Biden administration has now, through the HHS, is now going to start rounding up, searching for and locating young unaccompanied minors who might be pregnant, possibly who come across the southern border, right? They're going to find them in all these different states, and they're going to help transport them to pro-abortion states like California in case they want to have an abortion. So that's almost a human trafficking mm-hmm. process is what's happening. Our HHS is going to be using federal dollars to shuttle unaccompanied minors, girls, right, from maybe who knows how many other countries, or just local in the states, who knows, right? And start sending them to California and other places. That really smacks of trafficking across state lines and taking these young girls. They could be as young as, what, 12 or 13, who knows, right? Or 17. And here's the problem. This undermines parental rights. Parents in California have no right to protect their daughters from having abortions, even without their notice or knowledge. Nothing.
What I was thinking about as you said that, and going to the very last point you made, I think it's purposeful. You see, even as the business of introducing kids in elementary school and teaching them all about sexuality in terms of self-gratification, but not at all about procreation, which is the responsible side of human sexuality that then leads to a certain kind of expectation of discipline and conscience, right? So they won't leave that part out. What you get when you leave that part out are people who will indulge themselves but will not contribute to the preservation of the whole. They're not going to become responsible family people. I think at the end of the day, these people are all aiming at producing such chaos in this country that the only solution will be to let it all collapse. And that's where I think the famous slogan Biden and these people go with Klaus Schwab is Build Back Better. I always tell people, Build Back Better is a slogan that only applies when you've destroyed something. And I think we're watching the process of that destruction and have been for 30 years from particularly the Democrats and the leftists. We'll be right back after these words.
Hey guys, Christy Hutcherson here, Women Fighting for America founder. I have to say, I am so thrilled to be a part of Uncensored Truth on Brighteon TV. It is an amazing news outlet where you're going to hear truth, right? Because in today's media, you don't get the real truth. So I'm very thrilled to be able to be a part of it. Go and watch Uncensored Truth on Brighteon.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks. Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the Bivy Stick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the Bivy Stick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue.
And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 Bivvy sticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com.
Welcome back. I'm in a wonderful conversation with Susan Swift. She's an attorney at law. She's also somebody who has had a thoroughly, I think, creditable career as an actress in films, and she has dedicated her life in recent years to promoting the culture of life, promoting the opposition to abortion murder. And, you know, Susan, I think we ought always to be careful because we use these words, and yet what we're describing is a capital crime.
Yes.
And I wonder whether that isn't also part of what we've been talking about in the last segment, because when we ended, we were talking about the fact that you can end up with all the various things they're unleashing, the attack on conscience and heart that is involved in abortion, the releasing of self-gratification at the expense not only of that child's life, but of the procreative abilities. And then they can get in front of mics and say how we're suffering from population depletion. I found that to be less humorous, whoever it was, getting out there and talking about this like we're stupid or something. We have people who are destroying our borders, and obviously they hate the Americans so much, Americans who still believe in family and Christianity and unalienable rights, which means the obligation to do right according to God, and so forth. They want to destroy us, and they're very anxious to replace us because they feel like they'll get from otherwhere people they can control better. But I wonder, do you think most Americans realize that they are in the midst of a change that is intended to actually kill a lot of people? One, abortion is the symptom of the mass murdering mentality that now dominates these Democrat leftist types. It always has. You can look at the history. It always has. It is targeted at the children. It is targeted at the babes in the womb. It is targeted at conscience, so conscience will die in the face of one's desire, and so forth. And at the end of the day, it leaves us as a people who, because we are so caught up in a mania of self-gratification, become incapable of self-government because there's no discipline left. Do people realize that we're just being set up then to be slaves to whoever is willing to be ruthless in putting us in a situation of intimidation? And final point, I think they were practiced.
Bridie on Radio and BridieOnRadio.com.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panic. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
The U.S. prepares to bolster troops in Eastern Europe, and tensions build with Russia.
Secretary Austin has placed a range of units in the United States on a heightened preparedness to deploy, which increases our readiness to provide forces if NATO should activate the NRF, or if other situations develop.
We have been consulting with allies in deployments and refining plans for all scenarios. We've always said we would reinforce our allies on the eastern flank.
Stay up to date on Bridie on Radio.
Treasure Island coins and precious metals. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com says 2020 has shown us that we must prepare for the unexpected. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your fiscal well-being during the coming financial pandemic. Shipments are delivered safely, discreetly, and securely right to your door. A precious metals IRA allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Your metals are held in the form of real coins and bars in an actual depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit brighteonmetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island coins and precious metals. We're here to help. Visit brighteonmetals.com today.
Take a stand against bias talk radio.
I'm going to take a strong stand against it.
And listen to Brighty on Radio, where we give you both sides of the story.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrightyOnStore.com.
Brighty on Radio and BrightyOnRadio.com.
And he said, well, I can't go back on my word. I can't break it. But I promise you, right to life, Lee, that I will never again sign another pro-abortion piece of legislation. And he kept his word all the way through his presidency. That battle was begun in 1967, long before, 6 years before Roe versus Wade. So there's been a lot of people waking up to the truth of what abortion really is. I think it is now on full display, because all we see are these young women who are, you know, mind-numbed robots going out there and shouting their abortion and taking pills on camera and screaming their abortion and how proud they are. Don't they realize that their most precious gift is their fertility, and that they have the power of life-making within their own bodies? And yet they're throwing that away, and they're becoming cogs in some sort of corporate or pseudo-state machine, where they're doing the will of their managers. That's what is happening. And we have an entire political movement, the radical pro-abort movement, that is trying to make abortion on demand a right. Now, the Supreme Court did the correct thing by correcting the error of Roe versus Wade. There is no such thing as right to abortion in our Constitution.
Can I I was going to get to that, and since you raise it, I'm actually among those people who, though I applaud one aspect of the Dobbs decision, in my mind, I think it was a kind of reverse Dred Scott decision.
Yes.
A decision that avoided the real issue.
Yes.
And sent it all back to the states to sort it out, basically.
Right.
Sent the slaves back to the states. And it'll be sorted out by somebody else, because we're not going to bother dealing with the issues. Except that in this particular case, the issue was blatant and fundamental. And when they threw Roe out, they forgot to cite the actual reasoning that was required, because the decision itself was based on the notion that the child in the womb is not a person.
Right.
The child in the womb has now been shown to be a person.
Absolutely.
And the scientists agree, from the moment of conception, I can recognize that as a human being. And by the way, being that is the first thing you say about what does it mean to be a person. You can go all the way back to the famous 1828 Dictionary of Webster and find that the first formulation of what it means to be a person is a human being, right?
Correct.
That's the first thing you refer to. So if you are a human being, you are a person. And that then settled it. But they didn't say so.
And all they had to do was reach back to the Declaration and say that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among those being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They're ordered in that way for a reason, because you can't have liberty without life. You can't pursue happiness.
But why did they do that? Susan, why did they do it? And what they actually left us with is a situation that is very akin, I think, now to the precursor civil situation of the American nation before the Civil War over slavery.
Yes.
Only now the war that they have helped to perpetuate, in my opinion, by not being clear. In other words, if they had been clear, if they had gone through the whole argument, and the whole argument would have been turning the false rejection of personhood that was present in Roe and putting it on the sound bottom that what Roe said, however, had a truth in it. And that was that if it can be shown that the child is a person, then the complainant's case fails, meaning to say there can be no abortion under our Constitution. So they acted. There's no right to kill the child in the Constitution. We shall neglect the right to life, which is plainly spoken. And it's, by the way, plainly spoken in the Constitution. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. You must follow a process that shows that some delict has been committed. No crime involved. Therefore, if it's only the operation of the natural law that's involved, they can't then say that somehow or another that constitutes some basis for disregarding right to life of the child. They know that. That's why they didn't even touch it. They wanted to act like, we don't have to touch this. We'll just send it back, this dirty bomb. We'll send it back to the people. That is pointless, because if what is true is true, then if the people decide at any level, like they're doing California, everywhere else, they decide to kill the child, what they have actually done is kill the doctrine of unalienable rights, in light of which all of us enjoy both our protections from government abuses and our right to keep government within its bounds using periodic elections and so forth, which, by the way, makes us the sovereign people of the United States. The first time a whole people has been in charge of the government, not some king, emperor, or other individual. And by doing that, I think they make one of two things inevitable. Either we're going to succumb to the false notion that we can be a nation half committed to life and half committed to death. And I think that's like half slave and half free.
Right.
I think it can't work. Right. Or they knew that they were putting us on the path to civil war.
I totally agree with your analysis. We are in a civil war for life. Pro-life is that second issue, just like it was with slavery. And the pro-life movement is on the right side of that, of history. And pro-aborts simply aren't, because they are trying to make the unborn human being a slave. They're trying to say that somehow the masters of the woman in this case, Planned Parenthood, that they have the right to kill this little baby. That we settled that 150 years ago. You don't have the right to kill another person. You don't have the right to own another person. And all I can think about is why Justice Alito and the majority of the Supreme Court went it only part way, as you brilliantly articulated, is because they weren't asked to. I would have to look back again at the question that Louisiana posed, which is, may we limit abortion at 15 weeks because of fetal pain. I'm just vaguely recalling it. I don't have it in my head, right? But because of the nature of the question, perhaps it constrained the court, and maybe they wanted to punt. At least they have fixed the big problem, which was this extension, this judicial rewriting of our Constitution, which was...
Do you think, Susan, that there's going to be an opportunity? Because though I was unhappy with an aspect of Dobbs, the fact that they at least articulated the notion that gets this notion that we're somehow violating somebody's rights when we stop them from killing, when the real violation is the killing. Yes. I mean, that was one of those things that like chalk grading on a board. Every time I thought about it, I thought to myself, that's just crazy. We can't be that depraved as a people that we don't see what's wrong with them. So they took care of that. Now we're having to wrestle with the real issue at the heart of it.
And that is where God comes in. We must align with God, and we are a pro-life nation, and we are a pro-life army, if you will, because we are now again back in the 70s. We are fighting this as foot soldiers on the battlefield, politically, in California especially. We have to engage now in grassroots activism on our school boards to take back our schools and to start teaching what life is really about. We have to re-engage on our city councils and at our state levels and counties. That's the challenge, and that is what at least the Dobbs decision has given us, is tools to fight back in our states and to reclaim through advocacy and through activism to reclaim our states for life.
But we still have a chore that I think our lawyers need to think through, so that when the right opportunity presents itself, because I think what they're aiming at is not just the right to life. I think what embarrasses the totalitarians is the whole doctrine of God-endowed unalienable rights.
Individualism.
They have already pretty much banished the Declaration of Independence. Declaration of Independence is actually part of the organic law of the United States. It defines who we are and what we are as a nation. It showed the principles that the revolution was fought on, and therefore it shows the reason in terms of justice and right that governed the Constitution. That is to say, when they were putting the Constitution together, they did it in light of the standards that were expressed in the Declaration. Take the Declaration away, and there are no standards.
And that's why they ignored the Declaration. That's exactly what they did. They ignored the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They're ignoring the reasoning that is the underpinning for our Constitution.
But once they do that, it's not just a baby's life that's in danger. It is our whole way of life, because we cease to be a people standing on the solid ground that justifies our claim to govern ourselves against whatever might be the powers in government. Because remember, when they took on the British, they thought they didn't have much chance of winning some of them, because it was a crack army and it was defeating armies in Europe all over the place and so forth and so on. How did they know they were going to win that battle? But they knew it was right, and so they fought it. I think we are now being positioned. We think that it's about abortion. We think that it's about just attacking the rights of parents. No, it's about attacking the whole doctrine of God-endowed unalienable rights, which, by the way, we should have realized when their whole premise for a long time has been to get God out of the political picture. Once you remove God from our politics, we have no ground for self-government anymore.
Yes, abortion is the existential threat to individual liberty. It absolutely is. It is the bellwether. As you've just said, abortion is the weapon to destroy our constitutional rights. Without a basis in natural law and the notion that our rights do come from God, not government, as individuals, without that individual right, we cease to exist as a nation, as a republic, and we will be open and ripe for tyranny.
Well, see, I think we put the two parts of what we talked about in the first segment and this one together. They're going after our conscience, our self-discipline, and our sense of responsibility by turning us into people who are fascinated with self-gratification and putting aside what I think of as the house in which we are taught responsibility and service to others. On account of our God-endowed unalienable rights. And that, I think, is part of what they're up to. So you destroy our character, to put it in one word. Separate us from God, destroy our character, and so forth. Now they want to complete the destruction, because the real aim of the totalitarians is to take total control, which you can't do under our Constitution as informed by the premises of our individual rights. As articulated in the Declaration. And I always am a little careful because liberty is one of the unalienable rights. But as an unalienable right, liberty is not simply freedom. People conflate the two, but they are not the same.
Right.
Liberty is using your freedom to choose to do what is right according to God. That's why it's an unalienable right, because you are following the standard of right that God endows. They want to destroy all of that. And once they have, they will then move, probably with outside help, to impose an absolutely harsh strict military totalitarian regime on the people of the United States, as Trudeau is trying to do right now on his people in Canada. Am I making sense?
As China has done for a decade, what,
yes.
100 years. I mean, that's what China does. It does not see the value of individual. The individual is simply to serve the state. And that is exactly what we face. If we do not challenge this, you've identified it. It is the central issue in our existence as a nation is the right to life. And abortion is that existential threat to our Constitution, to our way of life. And that is, for me, an acid test when I'm looking at people to support or oppose politically. I always want to say, well, where would they stand on the issue of life? And if they're going to waffle, and if they're going to say, well, it's kind of okay sometimes, then I, you're going to fold like a cheap suit whenever any other real pressure comes against you. And that's why we have to find patriots, and we have to support entities that are pro-life from the moment of conception till natural death.
And I think that when we do, we think we're just fighting for the life of that child in the womb. Actually, when we think it through, as we have on this program, we're fighting for the life of our liberty, the life of our self-government, the life we live that on account of our willingness with responsibility to do what is right according to the endowment of God, that liberty, which is the right use of freedom, if we let that go away in terms of our individual responsibility, then our way of life collapses. And what follows it is now the harbingers of it are right in the White House right now. A lot of these people, you mentioned China, they are people who have come out of or in lockstep with a bunch of the communist ideology, but in its Chinese form, in the form that is now the most potent adversary.
They are the population
have on the planet.
It's like the John Malthusians from 250 years ago, Paul Ehrlich, the population bomb. This is all about controlling a population physically and also mind control to make you not want to believe that you have these rights. It is all about population control. We have to fight it. In California, that's what we've been doing, as I said, since 67.
We're down to the wire in terms of my time. I hope you'll be willing to come back, because there's an aspect of this that you were just raising that I think we need to go deeply into, and that has a lot to do with what we just went through in terms of how we inform ourselves in order to make the kind of decisions that will thwart this plan to destroy character and our unalienable rights in the same blow, so that we become a people incapable of continuing the way of life that we have had. I just want to thank you enormously. I know I'm running over time, but I appreciate your being here. Appreciate the work you're doing. Please come back so that we can talk some more, because I think I hope we help people to broaden their understanding of the huge implications of destroying that innocent life in the womb. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.